Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where as always, we're here together working to improve our financial IQs. The Total Wealth Academy is an education and mentoring program for real estate investors of all types, first timers, all the way to people joined that have 5,000 units. I'm trying to recruit a woman who has over 20,000 units, or I think it's close to 20,000 units. The thing they have in common is that they just want to learn, take it to the next level, be around like-minded people, and so on. We have a lot of people that enroll that are already financially independent, already wealthy, that just want to be, like I said, around like-minded people. They understand the value of being around like-minded people, as opposed to one guy told me, he said, I can't even hang out with my friends because I'm financially independent. I think he had 60 or so houses, and they think I'm an idiot. Join a real estate investor group too. It reminds me of a story one time. I was at this charity event and I was sitting at a table full of, there were eight couples at this table, or maybe it was five, I don't know. But all of them were attorneys and I was a real estate investor. And the entire time that I sat at that table, I heard nothing but bitching, moaning, complaining about their jobs, the travel, the this, the that. And finally, someone looked over at me and said, well, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a real estate investor. I own single family houses and apartment complexes. And almost in all of them, at the same time, in unison, go, oh, I wouldn't want that. Oh, tenants. And I remember going, I'm the only one not complaining about my life. Your life sucks. You admitted it. You've been talking about how bad it sucks. But I'm the one with the problem. So needless to say, I didn't hang out with them ever again. And this happens to just about everybody. Your friends don't like it when you're successful. Your relatives hate it. This is why I warn you, as Zig Ziglar said, don't tell people what you're doing if you're improving yourself. Just don't do it. Because all they're going to do is bring you down. It's the, why do you not have to put, if you put 100 crabs in a box, why do you not have to put a lid on it? Because if a crab tries to crawl out, another crab is going to grab and pull him back in. They won't escape. They can't. And sadly, that's the way it is in middle America. The poor and the middle class, they don't like it. I made the warning at my last Saturday class. I said, do not tell your friends what you're doing. You know, if you're going to quit smoking, tell everybody. The way Zig Ziglar put it, your give up goals, give up over drinking, give up smoking, give up overeating, tell everybody. That way you'll be embarrassed if you don't do it. But your get up goals, you don't really want to share those with anybody but your most trusted friends. So I bring that up in the Saturday class, and sure enough, about a week later, guy comes in for his initial consultation with me, and he goes, you're not going to believe this, but I did exactly what you told me not to do. I told a friend that I had hired you, and I was going to start passively investing, and all he did for the next hour was put down my decision and tell me why it was a bad decision. So be very careful who you talk to. And then when you're improving your financial IQ, you've got to understand, if you listen to this show on a regular basis, you know things that your friends don't. And if you think you're going to impart to them, you say you've listened to my show for a month, 2 months, or some of you years, you know so much more than the average person, it's ridiculous. And you think you're going to impart all that you've learned to them in a 30, 40 minute conversation to get them up to speed? You're not. Let it go. I have talked myself till I'm blue in the face to friends, friends that saw me in a Ford Festiva and now see me in a Ferrari. They've seen it work. They know it works. And not a single one of them has just imitated what I did. That's all they'd have to do. They've seen me do it. I've laid it out for them, waste of breath. Not a single one of them has done it. So again, be cautious who you talk to. Surround yourself with like-minded people. I'll give you an example, another example. Last night I'm talking to Curtis Warden. Curtis Warden has flipped over 500 houses. He is now investing in commercial buildings, apartment complexes. Guy's growing leaps and bounds. And you know what we talked about? Fitness. What our next deal is going to be. What our passive income is. Ask yourself this. When you're around your friends, are you talking about fitness, romance, building wealth, buying real estate, buying a business? You're not, are you? What are you talking about? Sports, the news, politics. Do you know how often politics comes up at my office? Almost never. See, we don't waste our time talking about things that are out of our control. It's the difference between reactive people and proactive people. Reactive people spend 95% of their time talking about things they have no control over. Their effort-minimizing brain knows that it's easier to complain than it is to do something, so they go with their effort-minimizing brain and just complain. Not so at my office. We're talking about things we do control, things that make a difference in our lives, and things that we can make a difference in. So, again, that's kind of a sales pitch for why you want to join a real estate investor group or some type of investor group and get around like-minded people who have the same goals as you do. When we come back, we'll talk about retirement and why it has nothing to do with age here on the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening. That it's normal to lose money in a down market. That's just not true. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, CEO of Total Wealth Academy. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $100,000 or more to invest, you should consider this to protect and grow your money. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. Thank you. Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, and I think this will probably take the rest of the show, the next three segments, and it's the concept of retirement, the way that we look at it. I do have a big disclaimer, though. I've retired twice. Both times, I hated it. At about 30, I was able to quit work, anything. I didn't even run my own properties at that point. And I did it for about 6 months. And at the end of the 6 months, I went right back to work. Now, it was a job that I loved. I mean, I got pumped. It was mentoring. I got pumped to get up in the morning. I loved doing it. With that said, many of you are in jobs that you don't like. You're actually unhappy. Yeah, you go to it. Yeah, you say it's okay. It's, you know, it's... I've just found that anybody says their job's okay, they really don't like it. They really don't. You're working hours that you really would rather be, you know, at the gym or playing with your kids or romancing your wife. And it's really, you're really not happy. And that's okay if you're doing something about it. But if you're at a job that you don't like, you've been in that business for 20 years, and let's say you're 45, are you really going to go through life another 20 years unhappy? Really, that's your strategy? Or have you lost all hope? You don't think there's a way to be happy. Listen, there is. There is a job out there for you where you can be happy. And what I'm finding is that people who become financially independent are not quitting working. They continue to work, but they switch jobs. Or they go from 60 hours a week down to 35, 40. It's okay to be happy. And two, it's really the purpose of life. If you study the Dalai Lama, he says the purpose of life is to be happy. But again, there's a catch. You're not going to be happy if you're not helping and serving other people. And I want you to think about this for a moment. If you look at the greatest joy in your life, which is going to be one of two things as a rule, either your children or your spouse, what are you doing that makes you happy? It's serving them, isn't it? Helping and serving your children, helping and serving your spouse. It's all about helping and serving others. That's where joy, happiness comes from. But what if you had a job where you were helping and serving people in a way that you felt was rewarding, purposeful, joyful? There is a job out there. It's called Dharma. It's your purpose. What is your purpose in life? What brings you ultimate joy in the business world? That's what you should be doing. Many of you, though, are going, but I can't make the same money. Then make yourself financially independent, take the pay cut, and go do what makes you happy. It's really that simple. Now, building the second stream of income, I know you're saying, well, that's not simple. It really is when there's multiple clubs in town, like mine, that will teach you. My wealth coaches will literally walk you step by step, question and answer, email, phone calls, step by step through your deals till you have the confidence to do it yourself. So while it's not simple, it is achievable. So let me start off with a story. It was probably 20 years ago. I was doing a radio show, and it was a live, in front of a live audience. And a gentleman asked a question about his duplexes. And he had these six duplexes, 12 units, making about $6,500 a month cash flow off of them. And I don't even remember what question he asked me. But when we took a break, I wanted to talk to him because it was very interesting to me that here's a guy with six duplexes asking me questions when really he's got the map. Just go to 12 duplexes if you want 13,000. That's all you got to do. Just duplicate what you've already done. So I asked him why he hadn't done it. He said, well, really, all my bills are paid at about 4,000. So the 6,500 is way beyond my bills. I go, oh, so you quit your job? He goes, no. And he said it just like that. No, like I was a knucklehead for even asking that question. And I go, well, why not? Do you love your job? He goes, no, good Lord, no. I'm in oil and gas. I think he worked 60, 70 hours a week, constantly traveling away from his family. He goes, no, I'm really not. Then why don't you? It was like a deer stuck in headlights. He had literally never thought of quitting his job. Never even crossed his mind. But his bills were $4,000 a month. He was bringing in $6,500 semi-passively. I go, you have enough to pay all your bills and $2,500 a month extra. Why don't you quit your job? He literally said to me, I never even thought of it. I thought, you know, that's how life is. You have a job. I said, yeah, but it doesn't have to be that job. We talked for a while. I heard from him about 2 months later, maybe 3 months later, and he goes, man, I quit my job. I'm going to take about 6 months off, and then I'm going to go find something that I like that's about 35, 40 hours a week and keeps me in town with my family. The lesson here is that some of you are conditioned to believe that you have to work at a high-paying job with good benefits. That's just what it is. You have to do it. You don't. You do not. There's no law that says you have to do that. It's okay to be happy. Go buy enough real estate that the profit from it every month, the cash flow, meets and exceeds your bills and wants. Then quit that miserable job, buy your own health insurance. You don't need 401ks and IRAs because you own real estate. And then go find a job you do love. Something that is fulfilling, brings you happiness, and is not over 40 hours a week. I'm not saying once in a while you can't go to 45, 50. But if you're on a consistent basis going 45, 50, 60, 70 hours a week, you are destroying your health. This has been proven in France. It's been proven in Japan. And your productivity drops off. I made this bet over and over again. I love people, entrepreneurs, who feel guilty about being billionaires. They feel so guilty that they say, I work all the time. I work 100 hours a week. Bull crap. You're just trying to justify why you're a billionaire because for some reason you're embarrassed about it, which you shouldn't be. Anything those guys can do in 100 hours, I can do in 40. Anything I made this bet at a company I was at. I said, look, you got me working 60 hours a week. Put me on a 36-hour a week schedule, and I'll sell just as much as I do at 70. In fact, I'll beat every person in the company that's working 60, 70 hours a week. For 9 weeks straight, I was first or second place in the company in sales. You know what my reward was? They put me back to 60, 70 hours a week. Man, now that I say that out loud, every time I say that out loud, I'm like, what an idiot that guy was. He could have pulled all of his teams down to 40 hours a week, eliminated the horrible turnover that was in that company, and been just as productive. All right, we'll talk more after the break here on the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening.
If you have a financial planner, ask them these two questions. One, will I lose money in a down market? Two, do I still pay you if I lose money? If the answer to either question is yes, fire them and come see us. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets and create a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where we're talking about, or I'm taking the long way to get to talking about retirement. But I just wanted people, I want all of you to understand that retirement's not what it's cracked up to be. You know, everybody jokes about this. You can only play so much golf. You can only drink so much. You can only whatever, fish so much. And then all of a sudden you're like, what am I even here for? You really want to find a way, even in your elderly years, to help and serve others, to really feel a purpose for your life, to get that joy, that pleasure that comes with helping and serving others. So let's talk about two questions that I get on a regular basis. The first one is, and I'm going to use $1 million, but the real questions that I get are people with 2, 3, 5, 7, 10, and they're still working because they understand that if they quit working, they've got to start hacking away at that money just to survive. But they'll ask me, you know, what would you do, Steve, if you had $1 million? Well, the first thing you've got to understand is that $1 million in deals that have 20% internal rates of return, that means you're making about 200 grand a year. Most of the people that email me are not making 200 grand a year. And they're working 60, 70 hours a week. It blows their mind. They're like, so what? They're going, man, I'm getting like 70 grand a year. That's because you got your money in the stock market and mutual funds. That's what the stock market and mutual funds have done for the last 75 years, 75,000 on $1 million. And then you're taxed. I guess that's capital gain, so 15 to 20% if you pull it out. Whereas when you make $200,000 a year in real estate, depreciation may cover 75, 80% of that. So you're only paying taxes on $40,000 or $50,000. The other $150,000 is tax deferred. So it's a totally different lifestyle, and you're not working 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week at a job that you, in actuality, don't like. When I get this question, the first thing that I do is email the person back the number, internal rate of return 20%, 200 grand a year, Could you live off of that? And without exception, and I've been at this on the air for 20 years, without exception, I always get the email back, yes. And then I reply, then why don't you do it? And then that is a specific style of question from a sales point of view where I'm trying to stimulate them to tell me their excuses, their reasons, their objections for why they haven't gotten out there and bought some real estate. And the replies that I get are all over the place. It may be somebody emailing me back and saying, you know, I'm afraid to own rent property because I heard about tenants and toilets and taxes and things like that. Or they may send me one that says, well, I had a uncle that was in real estate and he lost his shirt. All kinds of responses. And then I simply answer the objection. I tell them, hey, you can't look at a failure, the uncle story. You don't look at people who failed for advice. You don't look at people who failed to base your life off of. You've got to hang around successful real estate investors to get the real story. Then that person will generally say, okay, I'm going to come to your free sample class, and then it goes from there. So if you're sitting there with $1 million in IRAs, 401s, or in cash, or in your home, you're sitting there with $1 million, you should be retired already. The only reason you're not is because your financial IQ is so low that you only know one way to make money with your money, and that's the stock market. And people get really irritated with me when I say this. But do you realize there's no lower form of investing? None. Name a lower form of investing than the stock market. Think about it deeply. What is there? There's nothing that's a lower, lazier, don't care about my family style investment. And the problem is, it's not even an investment. It's speculation. You are speculating in the stock market. You're buying low to sell high. You're buying and hoping and praying to your God that the values go up. And also praying to your God, please don't let it crash on my 65th birthday. Well, guess what? How many people turned 65 in 2008? Millions. And they got slaughtered because they were speculating instead of investing. The answer, if you've got $1 million, is to spend some freaking money and educate yourself up to what's known as a sophisticated investor. A sophisticated investor knows what net operating income is, knows what cash flow is, knows what internal rates of return are, knows what multipliers are. You educate yourself in other ways to make money. 95% of your time should be spent on making more money. 5% of your time should be spent on saving it, saving taxes, saving expenses, things like that. When almost everybody's got that reversed, they spend 95% of their time trying to be cheap and save on a pound of tomatoes and save their on taxes. And they spend 95% of their, and less than 5%, almost 0% of their time figuring out how to make more money. Doggone it. Switch that. Spend 95% of your time and effort on how to make more money. All of you should be making these rates of return, not 7%, 7.5%. And again, that's the last 75 years in the stock market if you average it. Yes, that includes the downtimes. You know, people badmouth the stock market in other ways than I do, and it's like, oh, it's horrible, it's horrible. No, it's not. It's 7.5%. That's not a bad rate of return. The problem is, what if you have to retire in 2008? You're screwed. And it's not if we're going to have another crash. It's when. When do you turn 65? What if it happens then? Now, I got an email too, or actually a phone call one time. Really sharp guy too. God, I can't remember his name. But he asked, why do you always call the stock market gambling? And I answered the question a couple of ways, but the one I forgot was what I just described. The reason the stock market is gambling is because you're gambling that it won't crash a few years before or a few years after you retire. That's one of the gambles. You're praying to your God. You're wishing, you're hoping, please don't crash 2 years before I retire or 2 years after, whatever. That's gambling. You're gambling with your future. And some of you go, well, the real estate market crashes. Absolutely. It crashed in 2008. Did I care? No. Why? Because I was living off of cash flow. And did my cash flow go up or down in the crash? It went up. Because all those people that were losing their homes because they were in the stock market moved to my apartments. When everybody moves to the apartments, what happens to the rent in apartments? They go up. And all those people that lost their home needed a place to store their stuff. So what happened to self-storage? Rents went up. Sure, if I had $100 million worth of property and it dropped in value to $50 million, did I care? Nope, because the cash flow continued to come in. So that's why real estate is not gambling. Investing is not gambling. But speculation is gambling. All right, we'll talk more after the break here on the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening. Hi, this is Steve Davis of the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Most people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $100,000 or more, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you. Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Remember, you can always find us online at TotalWealthAcademy.com, TotalWealthAcademy.com. You can get a brief overview of how our services work, and there's a free sample class there. For those of you that are sitting there with big chunks of money, 300 grand, 500 grand, a million or more, you really need to consider passively investing in real estate syndications where your internal rate of return is 17 to, okay, I'm going to say this, is rare, 17 to 45%. The average is somewhere between 20, 22. So that's the answer to the question. If you had $1 million, Steve, what would you do with it? I would immediately go find a group like Total Wealth Academy that has vetted syndicators with 10, 15 years experience. incredible track records, and I'm going to give them my money and let them go send me a check every quarter. And I do nothing. That's passive investing. Now, some of the questions are, look, I have two or three rent properties. I really enjoy it. It's fun for me. What would you do? You may want to build, but I don't think I'd build more than a 20 house. You know, I had over 100 at once. That was because I didn't know about passive investing, by the way, or apartments. I wouldn't build a portfolio more than 20 units. You can run that in about 6 hours a month average, make about $8,000 a month. Once they're paid off, you know, good Lord, you'd be making probably $30,000 a month. So yeah, those of you that enjoy it and you want that instead of a job, build a little single family portfolio to keep yourself busy, helping and serving other people. But I don't think I'd go much further than that, unless you hired a property manager. But even then, if you're not going to run them yourself, you don't need single family. Again, the only reason I'm saying this is because I do have people who their passion is running single family houses. I had a friend, 123 houses. Loved it. I said, you know, you could sell those and make a lot more money in apartments. Nah, didn't want to do it. He loved running the apartments. I'm sorry, single family houses. That was his thing. So when you think about retirement, understand it has nothing to do with age. There are kids in their 20s that have $20,000 a month in second stream of income. They're never going to have to take a job their entire life. They're retired, and they're in their 20s. No, retirement is as soon as your second stream of income, your semi-passive or passive income, meets and exceeds your wants and needs. And what I tell my students is 2 times what you earn. If you make $100,000 a year at your job and you bring home 80, then make sure you have $160,000 a year in passive income before you quit your job. That way you've got all your bills covered by the first 80, and then you've got $80,000 for romance, travel, fun, and so on. Then pick a job you love. Take 6 months off if you want. Take a year off, but as soon as you get bored, go find a job you love, something you're passionate about, and spend your time doing that. So there's my answer to those questions. Let me get to a couple of emails that just came in. This first one is from Zach, and he's talking about reaching out to brokers for the first time. I'm assuming you're really talking about agents and brokers. Yeah, the first time that you call, it's tough, Zach, because they don't know if you're real. And they don't know if they should take you seriously. And nothing you say, Zach, you don't want to spend an hour trying to convince them that you're real. You want short, sweet, to-the-point phone calls. This, you know, Zach, this is an hour-long class that I teach. I can't answer this. You really should join our group for $500 and take that class. That class in and of itself, how to work with real estate agents, is worth the $500. So, sorry I can't be much help. It's just, it would take me an hour of direct communication with you to teach you how to work with real estate agents. All right, let's go to the phone lines now. Another Zach in the Heights. Hey, Zach, thanks a lot for calling in. How are you today?
Hey, Steve. I'll try to make this as efficient of a question as I can, but
okay.
A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to your show, and someone called in and asked basically about the how lumber and everything's much higher.
Yeah.
And the cost, and you guys got in a conversation, and pretty much you asked, is it your primary residence? I'm kind of paraphrasing here. And you said, well, it's there to serve you and et cetera, and probably just go ahead and do it. And so I happen to be kind of in the same situation. I've been wanting to call in, but thinking, not exactly, but you said 45 is now a 55, something like that, renovation.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw a zero on the end of that and kind of tell me your thought process. And I can tell you what I'm seeing. Like, for example, I'm seeing things that, I feel like 2 years ago would have been, say 250K renovation. These are sizable, obviously, renovations. This is not just replacing, painting and going from carpet to wood floors in a rental. These are large renovations in a, let's say, more upper end type deal.
But so you're saying the renovation itself might be 400 grand?
Say again?
So the renovation costs might be 400 or 500 grand?
Yes, and I'm saying
gotcha.
If you used to, it would be 250.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you do that is my question.
You know,
and I guess on that same notion, I wanted to pick your experience of, like, I know you can't have the crystal ball, no one can, but, like, have you seen this before? Like, is it going to calm down? Like,
yeah, I think the costs are going to come down. The question is when, like you said, it may be 2 years, it may be 5 years. But,
right.
Zach, it would depend on the deal. Let's say it's $1 million ARV. And I can pick it up for $300 and it needs $500 in rehab. Well, I'd do that deal. Yeah, I could have gotten it done for $250 2 years ago, but now it's $500, but I'm still going to make $200,000 off that deal. So, Zach, it's going to depend on the deal. You actually have to negotiate lower prices to be able to be profitable in today's market. And the challenge is we're not getting lower prices right now. We're getting higher prices. So that's why these deals are few and far between compared to 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to pick your brain, because to be fair, it's not really, it kind of flows into Total Wealth, because it's a primary residence that I would stay in. But then the question becomes, like you said, I agree, your primary residence is there to serve you, so there's definitely that aspect. It's not necessarily an investment. However, in my opinion, your primary residence always flows into an investment, because that's one of the biggest mistakes you can make is biting off too big of a nut on your primary home that basically
yes.
strangles you from investing in other things. You know what I mean?
So holy Toledo, you said that so well. Yeah, strangles you off from investing. Yeah, I had that call early this morning. A guy calls me up and goes, yeah, I don't have money to save. I go, well, tell me a little bit about your house. He goes, yeah, it's $500,000, and he gets all proud, I'm like, well, why'd you buy a house that costs so much you can't invest? So that's exactly
number
well put,
one thing
Zach.
People do, and that's the mistake. That's why I kind of wanted to tie it all together with what you do, because I was thinking about, if I could do it for $250 instead of $400, my mind saying, okay, that's $150 left over to put into passive deals. You see what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
And so anyway, I just kind of wanted to get your opinion, and I appreciate you just answering the question as best you can. It's just interesting times in terms of that. And just wonder if people are going to start like, that's so expensive. will that slow things down? Who knows?
I believe
not at this point.
I believe that idea right there is what's going to cause it to slow down. The exuberance is going to expire. And people are going to wake up and go, why am I paying $20,000 more for this than they were asking?
Yep.
And that's what's going to stop it.
That makes a lot of sense. Plus, the other day, I think yesterday or the day before, it may have been a recorded show, but you were talking about how people in the markets, and I'm not in this market, but it makes sense. People are overpaying, essentially, if I'm paraphrasing. People are not doing the 70% rule, and you get that combined with rising interest rates. Just at what point is it going to kind of flip a little bit, But anyway, if we knew that question...
We
would have it all.
We could set ourselves up to be billionaires.
Yep.
All right, Zach. Thanks for the phone
call.
You bet. Bye-bye. Okay, phone lines are open. 281. Oh, no, they're not. We are at the end of the show. Sorry about that. Let's see if I got time for one more email question. Okay. This is Nate. Your buyer's list, if you're a wholesaler, you need to call and email Don't just email your buyer's list. You want to call and get in their face. So let's say that I get a deal under contract. I email everybody immediately, you know, just a big mass email, all 40 of them. But then I start alphabetical order, calling them. Say, did you get my email? Were you interested? No. Did you get my email? Were you interested? No. Were you interested? No, 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 no. Yes. And then I sell it. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. Please take an action step towards your dreams today. Take care.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.